Welcome to Quiver, the Green Arrow podcast for the 10th episode of the second season, Blast Radius. I'm one of your hosts, Amanda Konkin.
And I am your other host, Michael Cohen.
And we're here to talk about Arrow.
We're back. The hiatus is over. And I mean, you wouldn't know it from how frequently we've been doing episodes.
I'm proud of us, Mike. Yeah, we did two full episodes.
To the point where I can't remember who it was that commented on Facebook. I think it might have been, maybe it was Mel or something. It's somebody, one of our regulars posted on the Facebook group, I thought you guys were going to take an extended hiatus. I don't know that we ever said what we were going to do over the break. True. I think we said that it would be nice to have a break, but I mean,
I'm glad we were able to do something.
No, yeah, it was good. And we did. We still did, even with doing the episode last week.
I went away. I didn't see you for a while.
We still managed to have 2 or 3 weeks there.
And the thing is, too, the episode that we released, we recorded that way back in, because December, it was basically the week
we did the
last. It was the
14th that we recorded.
Yeah, so there was actually, it was a break for us. Yeah. It just wasn't a break for the episodes because they came out.
Well, it was definitely a break for you. Yeah. It was less of a break for the guy who had to edit everything together.
Thanks, that's Michael.
Okay. That's okay.
It's good.
I was happy to do it. I'm happy that everybody enjoyed it. I'm happy that everybody enjoyed our mailbag episode. Mm-hmm. We got a lot of good feedback on that. But we're back with an episode proper for Blast Radius.
And a pretty epic one at that.
Incredible. Like, ridiculous.
What is this show doing to us, Michael? I don't know. Like, it's just...
What it's doing is just defying expectation every week. Mm-hmm. And I said this a couple of times during this episode, that... They've set up tropes on the show, like tropes within the Arrow universe, that now we're getting used to in season two, the idea of Detective Lance and Green Arrow having a rooftop conversation.
Yeah.
So what do? Before the conversation is over, they blow up a building in the background. Intelligence of manipulating us and making us super uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. It's just... There's a few places in this episode that they know their own material so well. They know what they've built for us and this world that they've constructed around the show, that in this episode, in order to throw us off, they start breaking conventions, right? In order to make us uncomfortable. I saw a post on Tumblr today. From the movie Jack Reacher, just Tom Cruise movie that came out last year. 2 years ago now, December 2012, it came out. And he's got this really cool thing where he's talking about there are four types of people who join the army. There are people who, it's a family trade. There are people who do it for a job because they don't have any other choice. There are patriots it's a service to their country. And then the last one is where it twists, right? Because he's talking about this guy who's been the sniper who's killed people. He goes, and then there are people who are just looking for a legal way to commit murder. Oh. And the way that they frame it, like it's just this really casual diner conversation. It's just a really simple medium shot of Tom Cruise explaining this to, I can't remember the name of the actress that's in it, but he's just explaining it, and then it's really subtle that they cross the axis, which is a big
no-no.
Like a big cinematography term that you know, you try and stay on one side of a conversation so that geographically the audience remembers, like, Tom Cruise is on the left, his whoever he's talking to is on the right, and no matter what, who's in frame, you keep that geography constant. And in order to make you feel really uncomfortable when he says, you know, of looking for a legal way to commit murder, they cross the axis to make it really uncomfortable. And that sort of filmmaking is the same sort of writing that they're doing. Like, that's really skillful, artful stuff. And they're doing the same thing with the writing and the shooting and everything on this show, which is, I think, what makes it the most cinematic, is that most TV shows are very happy to stay in comfortable, within the boundaries of, you know, just traditional filmmaking practices, like just sort of doing it by the book, showing up, getting it done. Getting out of there. But the directors that they bring in and the writers that are on this show go the extra mile to just use those little tricks to use like we've talked about color so much on the show, yeah, that the characters are color coded so that mm-hmm. we know who's on what side and where everybody falls in a given episode mm-hmm. and who's adversarial to who. And it's always with that key color of green being like, you know, all the good guys because they're generally wearing green or they're complementary to green. Mm-hmm. And you know, like they would put Moira in red a lot of the time because she had this sort of, we weren't sure if she was a good guy or a bad guy. And it was this visual communication of these things. Mm-hmm. And they just, they keep doing that.
They do.
To the level that you would normally expect to see in a film where mm-hmm. you have a big budget, you have a lot of time to think about pre-production and really put a lot of thought and effort into camera moves like crossing the axis. Mm-hmm. You, like, one of the reasons they don't do that on TV is just because you don't have time. You've got to get in, get out. You only have the location for a day.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that sort of stuff. But Arrow doesn't do that. It goes above it really, and beyond. Yeah.
Great. And you just reminded me that there's so many things that, as much as happened in this episode, there's also so many things that are still to come. Like, we've completely, like, there's a whole bunch of stuff going on with Moira that we haven't really talked about. Like, she's got, there's all sorts of stuff coming down, and you know what? There's so much.
They just completely ignored the stuff with Thea this episode.
And so you're like, okay, but I was good, but it was like an action-packed full episode full of things. Yeah. I didn't feel like I'm wanting in any way, which is really awesome. So, awesome job, Arrow.
Yeah.
That's good. We haven't actually like talked about how
and that and that next time on.
That next time on.
Oh. Holy smokes! So let's do some reader email, listener email with readers. We don't have readers. We don't write anything. Some listener email. Ben McConnell writes in, and what's his subject? Katie Cassidy looks odd. Mm. That's his subject. This is a touchy subject, maybe a little bit controversial.
Worth talking about.
But it's very interesting. Yeah. Hey guys, I started listening to the podcast when Stephen Amell posted about you guys, and I've been in love with the show since. You guys do awesome work. I was wondering if you guys noticed that Katie Cassidy looks unhealthy. She just doesn't look good. I also wanted to ask what other nerdy fandoms you guys have. Since there's a lot of us who are new to the podcast, I thought I'd ask. Love the show. Ben from Edmonton. So,
yay, Katie.
Yeah. Ben is bringing up the idea that Katie Cassidy looks a little bit...
Yeah.
So
we talk about this when we're not recording a little bit. Because, I mean, she's not on the show a ton, right? Like, she... Yeah. I mean, in terms of, like, the primary plots, she's doing a lot of secondary stuff right now. And I think...
Which will change next week.
Well, yeah. And they're leading her in a specific place, but I feel it's with season two.
Yeah.
She's changed her diet regimen or something. Or I can't tell if they're doing it on purpose because the character in the show is supposed to be struggling, I think. And, like, your body changes when you're dealing with, like, pill addiction and different things like that. Yeah. So... I can't tell if, because the thing is, the problem with Hollywood is that, like, I have no idea how much she weighs. And I don't know, she looks really skinny, but it's also, like, she looks just different from what she looked like last season.
Yes.
And I can't really tell, because I didn't pay attention that much to her before.
Yeah.
I can just tell that she's changed this season.
Yeah.
And I really can't tell if that's part of the character, or if that's the actress, and I just, like, haven't really looked into that at all. I think it's working for the show because I think that they're pointing to something. And she doesn't look unhealthy right now.
Yeah.
Like, she just looks different.
I feel that she... And like you say, we don't know how much she weighs.
Yeah, so yeah, like, I have no idea.
You know, and quite frankly, it's none of our business.
Yeah, exactly.
But I would say that she does look thinner around the face this season than she did last season. Mm-hmm. And I think I've said to you, like, I don't know that that's necessarily for the better. It might be the way that they're doing her hair because, like, it's really interesting how much you can affect the way that somebody looks on screen just by doing really simple things.
Yeah.
Changing up the way that they do her makeup, changing up the way that they style her hair. Mm-hmm. I seem to recall last season her hair was kind of bigger. Like, it felt more like not quite updos because she didn't have her hair up, but just that her hair had more volume to it and it was just a little bit more bouncy and she and that added an aspect to the character of her being just a little bit more light, right?
Something that people don't really consider about the industry, and again, I don't even know why we're talking. We're talking about this because it's something that we haven't talked about, I guess, on the podcast.
Well, I think people are noticing.
Yeah, so the thing is, she hadn't been really a regular on television before Arrow, right? She'd been on, like, guest stars and things like that. Yes. But she's now had a year in the same city where she has a regimen. It's easier to control your diet and to control your exercise when you have a regimen. So, I mean, you see that with a lot of people that get into roles. I mean, Jonah Hill's a really good example for, like, drastic change in body.
Oh, yeah,
like,
totally.
Because he was able to, like, hire a trainer and, like, figure out what his body could be at or what it was actually supposed to. So it's quite possible, like, we have no idea what it is, but maybe, like, she specifically has, like, a regimen here in Vancouver that she started doing when she got on the show in the second season. So, like, we have no idea what it is, but I think
she might be in the middle of training for some sort of a Black Canary,
sort of
transition with the character. So at the moment we're going like, she looks really thin compared to last season, and then at some point she's gonna be like in like, you know, yoga gear, and we're gonna see that she's got like a six pack and like she can kick butt now all of a sudden.
Who knows?
Which would be unexpected from season one, right?
I mean,
it's difficult to know, like you said, whether or not this is intentional and it's like the show is doing it, and I think because the actors on this show are not, and this isn't a knock, but just like they're not those celebrities that you know TMZ is following.
So we have no idea what's going on with her.
So
it's not like there's
no People magazine shots of her like coming out of the grocery store that we can scrutinize or should scrutinize. So it's difficult for us to say one way or another. It could just be the show because. There is this whole aspect of her character this season with the drinking to begin with, and now with the pill stuff, which I think that like they kind of ignored it the last couple episodes before the break.
But you caught something.
But then they cranked it up to 11 in this episode to me. Like there was a huge red flag.
Yeah. Which is great.
Yeah.
And I really hope, because the thing is, and this is the weird thing. The weird thing is that I've noticed that she's changed because she was skinny last year. Like, I didn't. So I think that it's feasible to think that it's writers. Like, that it's like an intentional, like, character thing.
Well, and like, I do think that there's a bit of a gaunt look to her this season and almost like, like, she's almost got a little bit of a sheen to her. Yeah. And it's, like, that stuff that if that was a problem for them, you can fix that with makeup really easily.
Yeah, exactly. Right? So I think they're either playing it up or they're, like, utilizing it well. Yeah. And I think it's working.
And her hair's been really flat. Her hair's been really flat this season.
So, and that would all be on purpose, right?
Yeah.
So it's really interesting. And that's, like, I think the potential to have this just be, like, a little bit more.
Yeah. It's almost, you know, I think to contrast it, compare and contrast at the same time. What they've done with Thea this season, taking her out of the sort of the bar star clothing that she was wearing in the beginning of last season.
She hasn't worn pants this year.
She hasn't worn pants.
So
she's always wearing like these
cocktail dresses and heels.
And she looks like a grown-up.
Yeah, she looks like a grown-up. They've made Thea look like a grown-up. That's totally what
they turned her into a responsible, so that when Moira makes the comment that she makes in this episode, where she simultaneously, it's a classic mom move, where she boosts one up and just tears the other one down.
Yeah.
I love Oliver's reaction. Yeah. We'll talk about that when we get there. But like that, I think if you look at that, wardrobe, we talked about it, the whole thing is all very intentional.
Yeah.
And how they want us to see the character.
Yeah.
And I think they want us to worry.
About Laurel. I think they do. Yeah, I think that's what it is.
Like, we're supposed to be asking these questions like, Laurel doesn't look so good.
Yeah, like, what's going on?
We're not consciously asking the question,
I think it's still...
The subliminal idea that Laurel does not look like she's as together as she did last season.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That Tommy's death and everything that's going on in the city is really taking a toll. Or the pressure of her job.
Yeah.
It just everything is really...
Yeah.
Coming down on her.
And they're really setting her up to be really interesting. Oh,
absolutely.
I care about Laurel again, and I didn't earlier. If you listen to other things, I wasn't caring about her too much at the beginning of the season. But
I think this episode, and I think I said this before the break, that when we came back from the break, that her character, that this stuff would start to pay off. All these seeds that they were planting would start to bear fruit, as it were. So I'm glad to see that I wasn't far off
yeah.
on that.
Yeah.
Just because I want to see that character come back to the forefront mm-hmm. and be interesting again. Mm-hmm. Because, mm-hmm. like you said, she's been kind of in the background.
Yeah,
kind of.
Yeah, kind of.
And even when she has been in the foreground, it's kind of been annoying. Like,
yeah, exactly. Right? That's exactly what it is.
Which
yeah.
is... Which is the Lana territory
yeah.
that we're worried about.
That yeah, we're really, worried about that, yeah.
That we're really gun-shy.
Yeah.
Let's say. Just because we've been down that road. It was a seven-year road
yeah.
with that character. And it got very painful towards
yeah.
the end. And
yeah.
I don't think we want to repeat that.
Yeah.
So
that's on Smallville for those people.
That was
what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Flashbacks.
No spoilers because we have people who are watching through Smallville.
Yay, Smallville! Can I read? I just want to read,
yes.
before we jump into the episode, let's read one more, because I thought this was interesting. We always talk about having some negative stuff, but we don't really talk about that much negative stuff, and we talked
yeah.
about the DCCU last episode, or I guess in our mailbag episode,
yeah.
and we talked about the different superheroes. So so Susan Brandon jumped on our Facebook page and was messaging us, and this is what Susan has to say. She says, "Thoroughly enjoy listening to the podcast. Great job, guys. Amanda, there's a reason why DC and Warner pretty much focus all their cinematic endeavors on Batman and always struggle when it comes to Wonder Woman, Superman, Green Lantern. It's because he's the most interesting character in the DC universe. That's exactly what they're doing with Man of Steel 2, including Batman, will always ensure people come out in droves to watch. Green Arrow is simply an uninspired ripoff. The show has been ripping off The Dark Knight ad nauseum, even dialogues at times. The acting is improving, but it's still pretty terrible compared to Breaking Bad or even Walking Dead. I mean, it's on the CW. They have the same template for all their shows. Bunch of good-looking young people, wooden acting, melodrama. In this case, throw in masks and capes. I really like the show. The only watchable superhero show, unlike on TV, unlike Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. But do recognize its many flaws. I know we're all DC fanboys, but come on. Hawkeye's a much more interesting character than Arrow. I'd suggest you give the current comic a try. If anything, the art is excellent. End of rant."
Okay, so let's go backwards, because I want to address
yeah.
that last thing first.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Hawkeye,
yeah.
being written by Matt Fraction currently, is incredible. I have the first
mm-hmm.
two volumes, and they are ridiculously good.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is the thing about comic book characters. This is something that we say at the comic book store all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, like, no one character is more interesting than another character.
Mm-hmm.
It all depends on the creative team behind it.
Mm-hmm.
So, Hawkeye right now, because Matt Fraction, who is one of the best writers in comics today, he's writing the pants off of that series, and it's so good, and it's got this really great character and flavor to it, this
mm-hmm.
really cool sort of like
mm-hmm.
Mod Squad 60s
mm-hmm.
spy thing, but also mixed with the superhero genre and
mm-hmm.
very modern and
mm-hmm.
and chic and trendy and all that sort of thing, especially with the art. I don't know who the artist is off the top of my head, but that's really cool. That's
mm-hmm.
all great.
Mm-hmm.
Green Arrow Year One,
mm-hmm.
written by Andy Diggle, is also equally fascinating,
mm-hmm.
and that version of Oliver Queen is a really interesting character.
Mm-hmm.
Oliver Queen, written by Kevin Smith,
mm-hmm.
In Quiver, is an excellent, interesting,
mm-hmm.
deep character to go into. And then the first, I think it was like the first 16 issues of New 52 Green Arrow, totally flat,
mm-hmm.
not very
yeah.
good. But issue 17 onwards have been excellent,
mm-hmm.
and people are raving about it and saying that it's some of the best Green Arrow in years.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like, it's who's a more interesting comic book character? I think there's something interesting about every comic book character. We were talking a little bit about that rumor that Jason Momoa might be playing
Aquaman.
And Aquaman's this character that over the last few years has become a total joke, that he talks a fish and all that sort of super friends type character.
Mm-hmm.
But then Geoff Johns writes him at the beginning of the New 52 and makes him this really interesting character that you just want to know more about, that you want to sit down and have a conversation with,
mm-hmm.
to figure him out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing, is that it all depends on who's writing the character.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Oliver Queen on Arrow,
mm-hmm.
to me, is a much more interesting character than Christian Bale's Bruce Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
The plot of what Bruce Wayne goes through in the Dark Knight trilogy is very interesting. His arc, in terms of like what he does and what he accomplishes, I think is very interesting. His arc as a character, as a person, like as Bruce Wayne himself, I think is very odd, and it's very like kind of all over the place, and especially in moments like the gap between The Dark Knight and The Dark Knight Rises, I think is very out of character and very poorly written. The fact that Batman just gives up because his girlfriend dies, like, yeah, it's traumatic. Yeah, that was bad. But he's Batman. Like, Batman doesn't stop until the job is done, right? Like,
so, because this is, I think that Susan is talking to me, because I have not been the biggest fan of Batman.
Sure.
So I kind of like her comments in the fact that, like, you're coming down a little bit to my level, which is good. But, like, the contrary thing that we can agree on is that maybe he's not, she capitalized the most interesting character in the DC universe. But I agree with some of the things she said. Like, that's always been something for me, as someone that's sort of somewhat outside of the full DC universe, that I do come in and kind of go, wait, they're both orphans who are rich, who then don't have superpowers and decide to be superheroes, and one of them has an arrow and one of them has a utility belt. So, like, I get what you're talking about, because it's totally, like, Batman
and
like...
And the roots of the character, he is a carbon copy. Yeah. Just like Captain Marvel, who is now called Shazam, which is the dumbest thing in the world. He was quite literally supposed to be a ripoff of Superman. To the point that DC bought the company that owned Captain Marvel, that was publishing those comics, in order to stop them from publishing the comics. Because it was so close that it was affecting their sales, but it was different enough that the copyright, like, they got away with it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, and eventually they folded Captain Marvel back into the continuity and made him a part of the DC universe. And now they use him as a foil for Superman, so they'll put the two characters next to each other in order to examine both at the same time, right? And I think there are archetypes in everything, and there are definitely archetypes in superheroes. I mean, there's Spider-Man, and then there are a few dozen, just dozens upon dozens of Spider-Man ripoffs, right? Yeah. And some of those Spider-Man ripoffs have grown into some really interesting characters over the years, and have become very cool things in their own right. And I think the same thing is true about Oliver Queen and about Green Arrow. The fact that Bruce Wayne, Batman, he's very like hardline justice is justice, you know, we don't kill, we don't,
right,
you know, like it's almost to the point where it's a little bit boring to me now. Like the way that some people write Batman, it's just not interesting.
Well, and
but Oliver has other things. He's very liberal, he's very open-minded, but he's not afraid to take a life if he has to.
Well, and he's newer to audiences. Like, I mean, I guess what she's talking about here is the idea that, like, Batman is bankable, but that's because he's been visual in multiple mediums for decades, right? And in a way that Green Arrow has not.
And the dark, gritty thing is just... It's almost like, in my opinion, it's a bit of a plight on the superhero genre, because some characters deserve to exist in a dark, gritty world. Swamp Thing lives in a dark, gritty world. That's where he lives. That's his corner of the DC universe. John Constantine, same thing. There are characters that inhabit that space. Batman straddles both, in my opinion. And he works well on both. I happen to love, like, my favorite version of Batman is Batman Brave and the Bold, which it's a serious take, but at the same time it's like this really outrageous 1960s like camp version of Batman. But some characters, like, they're not really supposed to be in that dark world. I think Green Arrow is one who can also straddle it, like he is on the show.
Yeah.
But as we've seen on Arrow, there's a lot to pull him back into the light.
Yeah.
And definitely, he's in a bit of a dip right now, but he's moving back towards the light on an overall arc, right? Into the happy-go-lucky, fun Green Arrow.
One thing I want to point out from her email too, which I just think is kind of funny, but it also is awesome at the same time. Yeah. The idea that she talks about comparing the acting on a CW show to AMC shows. Sure. And there's a different cinematic style to something like Breaking Bad and Walking Dead.
Yes.
And she says, I mean, it's on the CW with a lot of exclamation points.
Yeah.
And I actually think that that plays into its favor because yes. Arrow has this wonderful opportunity to straddle the world of, like, mainstream media consumption with high art or whatever you want to say. Like, this idea that obviously the people that are invested in the show have the wherewithal to put a lot of energy into it because they know that they do have this huge universe behind them. And if they can compete within that universe while being on the CW, that's a huge thing. Yeah. So I, as much as sort of, I kind of, when I read that, I'm like, oh, but I'm like, actually, no, you're right. I mean, it's not Breaking Bad, right? That's not what we're watching. But they're different. Yeah. They're completely different. And I mean, this is on the CW. But the producers are CW producers. It's produced for that.
Exactly.
But they have, they're also working within the DC universe, and I love that.
And at the same time, Man of Steel is not, you know, 12 Years a Slave.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, like, yeah.
And when you compare the two, you do a disservice to both.
Mm-hmm,
because I can enjoy Star Wars, and I can also enjoy, I don't know, I'm trying to think of something really, really heady, like Magnolia.
Right?
Like there are different flavors for different moods, right?
Yeah.
You can, some days it's okay to want vanilla ice cream, and some days it's okay to want bubblegum ice cream with gummy bears in it.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Like you can have both, and they can both be worthwhile experiences, and it's valid to enjoy them equally, or to enjoy bubblegum with gummy bears in it more than you do vanilla.
Yeah.
Like, that's perfectly valid if that's your taste.
Yeah.
And that's the freedom that we have in the world today to consume whatever we want to consume.
Yeah.
And you can love Breaking Bad because it's awesome and it's great.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can also love Arrow, which I don't think that the acting is so bad that it needs to be compared to Breaking Bad. I don't think it's not.
Yeah.
It's not the Vampire Diaries, you know. Like,
ooh, burn.
Yeah, that was intentional. But you know, like, it's,
I watched the Vampire Diaries.
It's not Big Bang Theory, right?
Okay.
It's not like Pause for the Fake Laughter anything like that. Like,
it's okay. It's like a medium. And I mean, we'll give Susan credit, right? I mean, Susan's watching the show and listening to a podcast about Arrow, so
it is interesting.
It's good.
Interesting.
So thank you. I would love more. If more people have critical takes on things, I really like breaking down critical things because it makes us think about things in ways that I hadn't. Again, that comment on, like, the CW, I'm kind of like, you're right. It totally is. But that can be also a positive
thing.
But
at the same time, like, in this episode, you have the very CW relationship of Thea and Roy.
Yeah.
But, like you said, break convention,
that
and rather than have
part,
her
yeah.
get upset and walk away and it be a whole thing that doesn't get resolved, they deal with it right then and there.
Yeah.
It gets dealt with.
Yeah, he says, it's not about you, right? It's not about the relationships.
They talk
so good.
Like real human beings,
yeah.
for goodness sake,
yeah.
because
so
that is so much more relatable than 90210 style.
Yeah.
Like, I just can't talk to you because you don't understand my dreams of being a pop country singer right now, okay?
Yeah.
And then leaving because, you showed up 5 minutes ago.
Yeah, like have a conversation.
Like,
come on.
You walked in the door and you started a fight and then he fought back and so you left immediately. You live in L.A. It takes 3 hours to drive anywhere.
Just
Why
stay.
Would you,
have a conversation.
Text it. Like... Get on IM. Skype it to
Him
or something.
Have something. You have something to say.
No, but that doesn't happen in this show.
They
act like real human beings.
Yeah, it's good. Well, let's dive right into the episode.
Yeah, let's go.
We talked for so long.
Okay, I'm hitting play now.
Yay.
We just got our previously on.
Which it hasn't started. Oh, there we go. The screen was dark for a long time. It's good. That plane shot is really good when they came back. I like that they've changed it. Is this different from last?
I think it is a little bit. I think it's a little updated.
Yeah.
They didn't do what they did last season where it was like
exactly
the same.
Yeah, exactly. It's sort of a little different. But this the talking is similar, right?
Yeah.
My best friend's memory. Because it goes up to the something else and then it goes the previously.
And
on,
he's got
right?
the mask.
Which
now.
Is cool, yeah.
Yeah.
I love that they have Barry Allen still there.
It's important cool. for us. In the,
it is. That's true. That was so cool.
Just that little so, bit.
Just him.
I love the way that they've done this because they're, in my opinion, they're very clearly setting it up so that in the season finale, something dangerous is going to happen. Like he's going to be fighting some superpower or something or other.
Yeah.
And he's going to be out of his depth and he's going to need a little bit of help and somebody's going to wake up from his coma and show up really quickly.
Or... conveniently. Yeah, okay. And this, you were saying, they just go straight into the episode, hey?
Yeah, after no the previous room to breathe.
Which, I think they had done that a little bit before. Like, the idea that the previously on was, like, part that you just, like, sort of watch it as this
There was that one
thing.
Really great one where it was, like, the real cliffhanger episode of Black Canary.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And it went just straight into it, right?
Yeah, which and the previously just really on cool... just continued as a scene.
Yeah.
I love this thing that he plays chicken and he wins.
With the car, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what he was able to shoot that sparked out of the car, though. That was...
everything.
Interesting. Anyways.
He just shot it all.
Okay. He's
the sure. Green Arrow.
How did that dude get out of the car? This always is like, how did you get out of the car?
He went through the plot hole.
Watch it. Okay. Good one. That was rather amusing, Michael. Well done.
Wordplay.
Oh, man. I was just watching Archer. They did something really good like that. It was good.
I've been listening to a lot of comedy podcasts lately, so I love this. It reminded me of Assassin's Creed for anybody who's played the last two Assassin's Creed, where you have the rope dart and you can hang people by trees upside down.
Awesome.
This is a very like to I what was the comment the Facebook commenter's
Susan.
Name
yeah.
Susan to her point. This is very. Batman Begins.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like,
where are the drugs? Swear to me. But, you know, I think they're playing to that trope.
Yeah, they are. They very well know that that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, it's intentional, I think. They're using a visual language.
Yeah. Which is good.
And he's supposed to be on the edge right now.
Yeah.
He's supposed to be a little bit out of control.
Yeah. Look at how grumpy he is. Yeah. Is Felicity back yet? Grumble, grumble, grumble. I really like that they didn't just forget about that, right?
Yeah.
That they're like, it's not just like there's someone in another city that's in a coma. This bodes really well for the future of the Flash series, right? If they can keep this sort of integration, even if we don't see Central City ever, but the fact that it's like part of this world is so cool. Just that idea that it's going to be...
Well, the idea that instead of having Arrow once a week, we get Arrow/Flash twice a week, right?
Yeah.
Because they're a shared world.
Yeah.
I think that's... And then, you know, if they're connected to the movies, then we don't have to take a break from the movies in between. The movies are just always happening, right? I think that's what
people
want.
Oh, that's so cool,
it doesn't stop.
I didn't really think about that before. That's really awesome.
But there's a lot of tension in the quiver, in the foundry, as we found out.
Oh, he said, that should tell you something, not I have to tell you something.
Oh.
I forgot.
Misheard him.
I did mishear him the first time. I was like, oh, is he going to tell him about what happened on the island? I thought that was originally going to happen. Anyways, I don't know why I missed that the first time I watched it. Anyways.
I love that they gave Oliver a costume change, and they almost gave him a costume change back into Abercrombie outfit.
Yeah.
Like he's got his khakis and
it's like a button up,
shirt.
Isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a denim button down.
It's awesome.
And his hair is so long.
I know.
And
so
it's fake. I love that it's fake.
Sean Mayer is awesome, and he's in this episode.
Is that Shrapnel?
Yeah.
The guest star.
From
he was pretty good. I liked him. He was. He rode the line.
Mm-hmm.
He did, like, he could have been a campy, silly supervillain, but instead he was a very grounded villain with a very weird, odd purpose.
It was sort of an odd
libertarian kind of guy.
There. But
he was really mad about having to pay taxes.
Yeah.
But
he didn't die, so there's maybe potential. The thing is, I mean, if people don't know him, he's from Firefly, right? And so...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's the doctor, so he's like a substantive sci-fi star.
Okay.
So the fact that they didn't kill him, I feel, is telling. Like, he's not like a local Vancouver actor that they like, hired
brought
to play.
In for a day. Yeah.
Right? Because they do that a lot of the time, right? So, sort of interesting, as we keep going. Oh, we're talking over all of the yada 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 Miraku stuff.
Yeah. The Miraku, it deformed guy.
Yeah,
like it's
stakes.
All messed up.
Look at the stakes. That's what she's talking about. She looks quite pretty with her hair like that, and then the red eyes. What city is that? I really want it. Oh, I didn't see who was on that.
Did it say?
It said Quentin.
It said
Quentin. I just saw the L the first time. So if everybody saw that pill bottle, man, look at this.
I think that is something that we were supposed to notice on the second watching.
You're supposed to notice that those are Quentin Lance's pills, not Laurel Lance's pills.
I caught later on in the episode when he says that he lost his pain meds for his arm.
Yeah.
And it's because they're just using drugs.
Like, they haven't talked about, right? It's so good. Like, they haven't, they just keep, yeah. they just keep doing it.
Well,
right?
they're building a case against her, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So that when it comes down to it, it doesn't come out of nowhere.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is what makes it such great writing,
yeah.
is that this has been a slow descent into a dangerous place.
Yeah. Yeah. So, it's good. Again, this guy that looks so similar to Blood.
Yeah, they do look very similar. They're both handsome white guys.
Yes, yeah. It's, and so here, Ollie, obviously having the... I don't really remember them becoming this good of friends, because I think in my brain I'm always like, but the Green Arrow and Blood are enemies, yeah. So my brain is like, you shouldn't be friends.
It was a bit of a subplot, but I feel like it happened really quickly, where they were, like, adversarial, and then...
Yeah.
And then it all kind of got fixed, kind of overnight-ish. but I think there's a cool parallel here, and I said this while we were watching it, the Bruce Wayne Harvey Dent relationship in The Dark Knight.
Yeah. You know what's so funny? The red, white, and blue. I identify so much, like, Canadian-ness in this show, and, like, because I'm so biased, because I'm like, it's shot here, and it's, like, a Canadian star, but then I always forget, I'm like, no, it's American. Like,
it's an American show, they're
in the United States, there's red, red, and blue, man.
You know what the dead giveaway is, in all the court scenes, the judge doesn't have a wig on.
That's true.
The legal system here is weird. it's weird to us, like, that's a really weird thing, is that, like, we're like, really? 2014? Do we need the wigs? Do we still need the wigs, you guys?
Not all.
I don't think that they really wear wigs, but it's
very specific. Anyways,
here's the dig.
Yeah.
Taken Oliver's hobby and turned it into a successful business. And I love his hobby.
And she just walks away. Like, in his face, like, it's just when it's like the afterwards, the like, oh, mom. So good. Anyways. So Laurel and Ollie are sort of in a good place, which is...
A little bit awkward, though.
It's a little awkward.
And they were like, I don't know what to do, let's hug.
Yeah.
But they're trying to deal with it like real people.
They don't just
have some weird standoffish confrontation and then walk away from each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know what? You're really right. You know what they're doing with her hair? They're like flattening it on top and then making it big on the bottom, so it makes her head look longer. That's interesting. I never really paid attention to her hair before, but that's just a notice. Freedom, liberty. Oh, I didn't know what we were talking about. Oh, it's the guy in the car.
Yeah, this is Shrapnel's little speech.
Yeah.
His motivation.
Yeah.
Which is cool, because it's kind of exposition, but it's not, because it is. It's kind of got a poetic, a little twist to it,
and it's political. Like, it's about. It's about what the episode is about, and so that's so cool. Look at that reflective thing.
The effects in this episode were really good.
I just realized you didn't actually see the building blow up. You saw it in like in a reflection through him.
We're fast forwarding through commercials,
which was really awesome.
Yeah.
So I don't know. There was a lot of explosions in this episode, actually.
Not like little
things getting blown up, but like legit big things that were
well,
like,
buildings.
Buildings, yeah.
two buildings and a gigantic explosion over a crowd.
That was so cool.
Yeah,
really,
and they all looked really good. They all looked very authentic.
Episode again, them all walking in important. Now they ran down those stairs very quickly. So they're coming over because they heard that there was a fire, or they heard the thing blow up, right?
Yeah, they heard about the explosion.
The Diggle has to sit in front of the computer.
And he doesn't know what he's doing. Yeah, it's so good. He's so awkward about it.
It's good. It's true that they're a team. That's the cool thing, that like even though they sort of do it, it's not as easy as it, right? Like it really, which is kind
of
cool.
It's funny because if you go back to the beginning of season one, it was just the two of them.
Yeah,
and they had like a little laptop or whatever.
Yeah. You know what bothered me? Why was Ollie just standing there? He should have just been getting into his gear while Diggle was doing that stuff. That seemed like he wasted a good 30
shirtless
seconds
moment.
There. Oh, and a good shirtless moment. Yeah, Michael, thank you for kidding. That's a good. Yep, definitely.
He's in the mat. This episode's the first time we see the mask in action.
Yeah, very cool. And this is cool. Actually, even this, like, while it's not like an explosion itself, like getting in there and seeing all the fire and the special
it's
effects.
Very, it's very it's practical very cool. effects, right?
Yeah, very cool.
It's very real.
Is that a female firefighter? That'd be awesome if that was a female firefighter. You don't see enough because it's just a background character. I love that. I don't know. I couldn't really catch it, but that would be awesome. They need more of that. Very cool.
I guess there were some steroids in whatever. Slade in that Miro crew because he's kind of a jerk now.
Yeah.
Kind of
well,
like
that's the whole thing
back.
Is the psychological and the like emotional. He like looks really different too in this episode.
He doesn't have a beard.
Because
his face got burned.
Right.
So the hair all got burned off of his face, so he doesn't have a beard anymore.
Okay.
And then on top of that, when he's Deathstroke now, he has a goatee.
Right.
Right.
So maybe he's
so he's gotta have the shaved face in order for them to put on a fake goatee.
Look at you thinking about the practical effects. Michael, that's good. And
well, but it's also informed by the story because
it is,
his
yeah,
face
of course,
was melted.
Yeah, it's true.
Or at least half of it was melted.
It's
so
true. And we're here at Queen. I always forget that he actually has like a real job.
Yeah, he has a corporation to run.
And even when they're there, it's not like he's actually working. He's always there to like figure something out for like his, you know, hobby. I don't know.
Yeah. No Isabel this episode.
Oh, yeah.
She's been absent.
I forget that she's not here either. This is cool. You sort of knew this reveal was coming when you were like, oh, Felicity's coming back. She's wearing a lot of red and blue in this episode. They're adding new reds, like the maroons. If you notice, actually, they're adding maroons because of Roy. It's like maroon arrow instead of red arrow because it's not as vibrantly. Oh, I kind of like her. She's super cute. Like the idea of sleeping. Oh, I like.
Yeah, I like that they didn't just drop the sort of the relationship that they were developing.
Yeah,
and they. Like, she really does have feelings for Barry, and even though he's not on this show.
Yeah, which is super cool. It's a good thing. I like it. I think it's important. So, that was the thing that really... I don't know, as we were going into this episode, Michael's like, you're going to like this episode. And I'm like, what? I'm going to like this episode. And it's because I think of the relationship stuff between Ollie and Felicity.
Yeah.
I think they did a really good job with it, which was nice in a way that I had been waiting for, right? Like you got the Oliver side of stuff this episode, and that's what I'd been waiting for, right? I'd been waiting for like what is his stakes and like what is the like.
At least for now, this episode puts a bit of an end to the Olicity shipping debate because she's very clearly has eyes for Barry, and that's what she's focused on. Mm-hmm. And Oliver he's got some issues with it, I think, but I think he's also learning to be okay with it.
Yeah.
So, we're talking over this whole reveal.
Eventually things are going to happen with him and I will care then. Like, right now they're like, this is the bad guy for the season. I'm like, yep.
Yeah. But it's important that we know his story here.
Yeah. This is actually,
so that we know
important.
That he's lying. Like,
yeah,
right?
That's true. But, like, we know he's lying. That's the thing. Like,
yeah,
as
we know
a viewer,
he's a bad guy,
I know he's...
I think that that's might be the only thing that I don't like about what they've done with Sebastian Blood is that they tipped the hand a little bit early.
Mm-hmm.
And we know just how evil he is.
Mm-hmm.
We're not suspicious of him.
Right.
Like
yeah.
Laurel is. Like, we know that he's a bad guy and that he's not to be trusted, which makes the stuff with him and Oliver in this episode really cool because the Arrow doesn't know, but we know.
Yeah, that is cool.
But in this instance of her sort of being onto it, it's like figure it out already. Put two and two together.
So
right?
We're
like,
waiting for her. She's going to be the one to figure it out, just like she was the one to figure out. Wait, what did she figure out last? Did she figure out something? Anyways. So this idea that he was an orphan, is this the first episode that we talked about him being an orphan, or have they talked about it a bit before?
I think that it's been like sort of an off-the-cuff remark.
Right,
before.
But it hasn't been like a...
But this episode really kind of focuses on it. He said something at his campaign rally.
Yeah.
And now he's talking to Laurel about it.
Right.
About how his mother killed his father and then ran away.
Yeah.
Which is not necessarily entirely true.
Dun, dun, dun. It's good. I'll give Laurel, like, her instincts are really on, which is unexpected, but I guess,
yeah.
I guess cool that, I mean, I don't know.
Do DAs really do this much?
No, they're making like, it sort of, like, investigative more than
yeah,
it should be.
She's more
be,
of a detective than.
Yeah.
I think that's because they took that away from Detective Lance.
Yeah.
He's Officer Lance.
Yeah,
so. He doesn't really get to do a lot of detecting.
Yeah.
Yeah. That maybe this would have been... And I think they allude to that a little bit
yeah.
in the scene coming
yeah.
up where she's
yeah.
like, can you look this thing up for me? And he's
yeah.
like, suspicious of your boyfriend? Isn't that my job?
Yeah.
Yeah. And here we're gonna get some hints. This is the relationship stuff we were talking
mm-hmm.
about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to get some hints at the fact yeah. that Roy is now superpowered.
Yeah. This is just such a good... I mean, this is so, like... This is sort of a relationship moment between the two of them, and it's going to lead to the reveal of, like, him getting hurt. But it's a really great choice, either in the writing or in the directing, to have Roy being loading these boxes onto the cabinet that's going to fall on them
yes.
later. Like, that's just a really active choice that we're paying a lot of attention to this, like, what he's loading and, like, what's going to happen to it. And then we leave it for relationship stuff, and we're like, oh, that was just what he was doing.
Yeah.
And then we come back to it later. It's just, like, a great narrative structure. And this is great that he just responds to it immediately. I think I was in the kitchen, like, getting a drink while this scene was happening, and I said
yeah.
to Michael, I'm like, this is why I love this show. And it's because, and I mean, I think I've talked to you guys about this a lot, but I watch a lot of Korean dramas, and they're basically, the reason I love them is because they're sort of slice of life. Like, they don't use drama for drama's sake. They, like, have real relationships, and the things that happen in those relationships are intrinsically interesting, and that's why you care about them. You care about, like, the individual characterizations of each person. And with this, I care about the individual characterizations of both Thea and Roy, and their relationship sort of brings out both of those characterizations, and they work
yeah.
really well as a pair. And I'm actually, like, really... I didn't think I was going to be really invested in their relationship, and I really am, which is cool. And then, of course, the bottle's falling on...
But
on
the important thing
yeah.
that I think we're all glossing over is that I think they were about to do it in the story.
Yeah, that's true. Is that the sexiest scene we've ever had on Arrow, almost?
No.
Because
we've had actual sex scenes.
That's... Well, before and after... That's, I don't know. That was
no, crazy. I think we got some during on
yeah.
a Tommy and
Laurel
scene.
Oh, okay, yeah. Very, but anyways, some sexiness going on there.
And apparently some stuff coming later this season.
Yeah. Really? What?
Yeah, it was in our interview with Stephen.
Oh, yeah. Right. Sexy things. I love this shot, by the way. I love that they're using this, like, constant location. This is the same roof that they met on before, which is good. And I know people probably don't care at all, but they use sort of the same general location also for the rally later. It's
yeah.
going down.
And it's the courthouse.
Courthouse. Oh, in other episodes.
In other episodes.
Sorry. I was like, no, it's the art gallery.
The
yeah.
art gallery, which
yeah.
used to actually
yeah.
be a courthouse.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's why they use it as a courthouse
yeah.
on the show.
It looks like a courthouse. So this is good. He uses the word nut job a lot. Or there's a lot of people using the word nuts.
No,
like
that's Detective Lance in this episode. He uses the word nut job
yeah.
a couple of times.
Yeah.
Nuttier than a Snickers bar, I think,
it's
is this
later.
One later.
Yeah.
Which
it's like,
a little bit. There's a little out of character,
yeah.
but that's
yeah.
okay. I'm
yeah.
okay with it because
yeah.
it was a good joke.
Oh, this just makes this so much more interesting. Like, the logistics of having actors on a roof is hard. People don't realize that that's, like, a hard thing for them to do, but this is why. Like, look at that payoff.
And then boom. Yeah.
Like, look how
Such
beautiful
a,
that is.
Yeah.
Like, that is just...
And the burning still, like,
it's just
so well done.
So amazing. And so, like, it really, everything about this show really just leads it to being...
And it was a building behind other buildings.
Yeah.
Which sells it a
yeah.
little bit more, I think.
Yeah.
Like, just, like, super smart
yeah.
choices.
Yeah. It's awesome.
That they made.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know how she tracked this. This was interesting. I guess just the residue for the, or the signal for whatever it was that, like...
I think maybe, like, the signal of the detonator.
I guess. Yeah,
something.
Maybe that's what it was. And so we have the chase that's actually working, that he actually is there and then decides to leave. Oh, I didn't see what that street name was. Is this, you know, chasing through the streets of Starling City, I went through in my head Metropolis and Central City before I said Starling because I forgot. I was just in so entrenched in other parts of the DC universe, which is good. What bridge is that?
Well, that's the Lionsgate because it's the only proper suspension bridge in the city.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Uh-huh. So they're downtown. Man, they really utilize this city really well.
Oh, no, wait, maybe it's
like,
not.
I was going to say that this looks like a suburb. This doesn't look like downtown because it would be impossible for them to
shoot someone like this. Well, it could be North Van. It could be the other side.
But if everybody notices, they're sort of going up and down. Like, they're always driving towards that bridge and then away from it. Are people noticing that?
Because they're driving because they have one segment of the road.
Of the road, yeah. Exactly. Anyway, see, now it's behind them. I don't know. Sorry. Yeah. That's just kind of funny to me.
There's cool, not really a lot sequence to talk about. I know. Here. It's a really good action sequence, but how many times can we say, oh, that was cool?
Yeah. And he almost ran into a bus.
A nondescript bus. It's green.
Yeah. It's green. It's not one of our buses.
It is one of our city buses.
It says,
but
sorry, not in service.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a normal thing that buses say in other cities too.
Okay. Okay.
But I just like that it's green because it's Starling City.
So it's a green.
So they painted it to be its own thing.
That's cool. That's like a little bit of forethought there.
However, when we see SkyTrains, they will always be. Actually, if you notice on Smallville, they always used the Millennium Line ones, which are white with yellow and blue.
Right.
But on this show so far, every time they've shown a SkyTrain, they've shown the Expo ones, the older ones.
Because
they think they want the city to feel
kind of older.
Kind of older, less modern than they did in Smallville. They wanted it to be Metropolis.
Right, right. Okay.
So
hey,
it's an interesting
use of the found materials, I guess, right? Like, which ones do you use?
Because they have a choice. And then we have even newer ones that are gray with yellow and blue.
Yeah. We're fast-forwarding through commercials right now.
Yeah,
so we're going to talk about Vancouver 101.
Anyway, you can watch on a lot of different shows, and when you see the buses, you'll know that it's Vancouver because you'll know that the buses have blue and yellow.
And now we're back in the quiver where Ollie is going to throw down right now. So, oh, here, there we go. Just explaining that he's actually kind of technically savvy, which is kind of interesting. And that was just, uncool. I don't know.
He's totally out of line. And I think one of the interesting things is that very quickly he recognizes it in this scene.
Yeah.
But he doesn't back down because he's angry, right?
Yeah.
Like, he's... There's something going on that we don't fully understand yet.
Mm-hmm.
That's because we don't have the full story on Slade yet.
Mm-hmm.
Once we have the full story on Slade, I think if you watch this season again, you watch an episode like this, I think we'll understand why.
Yeah. I think you're right. Like, there's some stuff going on that we haven't.
Because also, don't forget, he thought Sarah was dead.
Yeah.
She's gonna die. I'm using my quote fingers. She's gonna die on the island again. Because he didn't think that she was alive. He knew that she didn't die on the boat, that he'd been lying about that.
Right.
But as far as he knew, she was dead.
That's true.
So I think that whatever feelings he's got around that involving Slade, and he thinks Slade's dead too.
Yeah, right.
There's a lot of stuff going on. That was really subtle.
Did you see that cut? I saw that the second time. I saw that the second time, but not the first. Because I noticed the cut to the island the first time I watched it.
Yeah.
But this show is so good. Awesome.
Slade recognizes that he's losing control a little bit.
Yeah.
That the mirror crew is messing with him.
Yeah.
And that he is much stronger than he was before.
Mm-hmm. Which is cool. There's just a lot of tension right now. No one's saying anything. Sort of dealing with the situation.
Sarah's really kind of just getting in there and trying to deal with it. It's like, you know, you're not. I don't really think he trusts you yet.
Yeah.
You might not want to talk. Just kind of stand in the background.
I always forget. I forget that she's still on the show because the island is such a separate part of.
Yeah.
That she's around always. Okay, so this is the part that you were talking about here. So first of all, he's looking for another cop, which is this, and I lost the pain meds that the doctor gave me. That's the moment that you were
Yeah. And that's the cop that is communicating stuff to to Brother Blood.
So lots of things in that moment.
Yeah.
Which is good. So here is sort of... There hasn't been a lot of Detective Lance and Laurel stuff as much as... Right? Because they're not really having, like, a father-daughter relationship. Like, it's not as tense anymore because there's nothing really, like, with either of them.
Yeah.
And so it's sort of going to be... It's good to have scenes like this because it establishes that they still are, like, close and all of those things. So when it can go forward. And also that comic relief. Man... People don't think that Detective Lance is, like, the comic relief of the show. I personally do. Him and Felicity, man. Him and Felicity make it sort of witty and biting, and I think it has to do a lot
with... Yeah, his, like, jokes his just acting. Tend to be a little bit less punny.
They
that's,
do.
That's all I'm saying. Like, it was a little it's a little silly side.
It's chuckly. I don't know, it's like a dad joke.
it was very much dad a dad jokes. Joke. I'm going to admit, I'm filing that one away for later. Like, nuttier than a Snickers bar is a good one, and I'll use it. But I did say it was a little insensitive.
Yes.
I think it's a little insensitive for somebody who's in an asylum.
Yeah.
But...
Yes. So this... I couldn't quite figure out why Blood just decided to have a rally. Like...
Yeah.
Is he using Green Arrow? Because that would be the awesome choice, is that if he, like...
No, I think... Because there's two things going on here that I'm wondering about. Mm-hmm. You're like, one, is he using this to try and draw the arrow?
Yeah.
Because he's working for Slade, right?
Yeah.
He's working for Deathstroke.
Yeah.
So we know that Slade's goal is to take down the arrow because he's Oliver, and Slade knows that.
Mm-hmm.
But does Sebastian know that? I don't think so. I don't think that he's in a... Like, I think there would be... more biting stuff.
I think he'd be
a little bit more...
But it's definitely telling there that he was going to get his gun and then he doesn't, right? Like, there's something... I don't know. There's multiple layers to this and I don't really think that it's fully explored.
Yeah, I think initially he was just trying to use it as a way to because he's trying... He did the same thing before. This is consistent with his character.
Yeah.
Because he did this with that the gangster guy, the mayor.
Right, that's true, actually, he just sort of...
Yeah.
I think he's using it to sort of put himself in a position of sympathy, right? That people are like... And it could
be... He
like
wants
this,
to be seen as a hero.
Yeah.
It's interesting, because like I said, there's that correlation between him and Harvey Dent from The Dark Knight.
Mm-hmm.
And in The Dark Knight, I feel like Harvey Dent was very sincere in all of that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he really wanted to make a difference and clean up Gotham and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I think what we're seeing here is they're using that trope that we know from that movie, but Blood is using it as like it's a means to an end, right? Like it's not the eventual goal itself.
Mm-hmm.
There's more going on there. It's a larger motivation to control the city, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's really interesting. We just got the little setup that he has a hobby store.
Yeah. Which we had earlier, which is interesting. So it's a good shop, actually. It's a really cool location.
Yeah.
That I feel like they only used twice in this episode, I think. It's that time and then like later. So
I wonder if it's a real shop.
I know. That's what I'm wondering. I'm like, did they build that on Soundstage? Anyways, back in the this is
not quite
commercials.
Yeah.
All award show season, and now we're back in the quiver with that same awesome reporter on Channel 52.
Who wears the same jacket?
Like, all the time. Yeah. It's good. I really like Felicity in blue. It works really well. Let's just watch the show for a little bit.
Yeah.
Like...
great podcasting, guys. We just sit here and
watch the episode. I was trying to Google Shrapnel's real name, but I came up with Professor's at the Hog. I don't know what he is.
Yeah, I don't. Like, Shrapnel sounds familiar, but only in the sense that a name like Shrapnel, how could there not be a hero or a bad guy named Shrapnel? Might just be from DC Universe Online or something.
It could be.
But
he's a super villain.
Is he? Okay.
Yeah. He's primarily an enemy of the Outsiders and the Doom Patrol.
Okay.
I don't know what the Doom Patrol is. Do you know what the Doom Patrol is?
Yeah, I mean they're different superhero groups.
Interesting. Anyways, so that is him. He's also associated with the Suicide Squad, the Secret Society of Supervillains and the Cyborg Revenge Squad, which is interesting. But this is a very different person because he's supposed to consist of hundreds of pieces of organic metallic substance that can be projected into explosive bursts.
So he's literally pieces of shrapnel.
Yeah. So it's just a little bit different. Whoa. But they're making him explode things rather than be explosive himself, yeah. Which is interesting. This interaction we sort of talked over a little bit. I loved the detective lines at the beginning. They totally dodged that, like...
Yes.
She didn't have to talk about it at all.
Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's kind of... And she's sort of wrapped up in her own head that she didn't push him on it, which is, you know... Fair enough.
It's funny because they could be working with each other.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Right? But instead,
exactly.
They're going off.
Well, that's
on their
the well, that's quests. The that's the horrible circumstances of it, right? Isn't that always what's happening? You're like, just work together, you guys. You'd figure it out so much faster.
Yeah.
So this is great. This is the ice rink down Robson Square. Is that right?
Yeah. It's Robson Square, where Casey and I saw them filming something at Robson Square a few weeks back. And I was really hoping that it was Arrow.
We
were grabbing lunch, and we went over and we checked it out. It ended up being Tomorrowland with Tom Hanks and George Clooney.
Oh right, because they're shooting in this.
Yeah, but
now this is cool and was unexpected. Like I did not expect him to walk into a trap right there like that.
Yeah, they caught us by
how
surprise.
How cool is that? And then because you didn't think like this. Super villain guy or whatever, the shrapnel guy, you have no idea that he's actually like a real threat until this moment where you're kind of like, oh,
just that
no,
awesome, like, awesome visual of the only thing stopping that laser is the head of the arrow.
Yeah.
And so he's got to remain perfectly still. And then I like this reveal on the monitor just to raise the stakes as if they weren't already high enough that Thea and Moira and Roy are there.
Yeah.
And now we've got another commercial break.
Was this the short commercial break? There was one.
This
that
is
was
the
little
short
shorter
one.
Than others.
Yeah. I believe this is the short one.
We could be
just fast forwarding through it, but yeah, they really like they kind of ramped it all the way up.
Yeah.
In a matter of seconds.
Yeah.
By being like, Diggle is in the square. He's in Unity Square, and then Oliver's in a trap.
And then they're like, oh, and then, also...
Yeah, and also his entire... So everyone he cares about is going to die.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Okay. Yeah. This was not...
This was not the short one.
This was a long commercial break.
Yeah.
Oh, commercials. Man, people have to actually, like, watch commercials. That's, like, a weird...
Nobody
watches I've been watching a lot of Netflix recently. And we're back into the crazy... I like that he could get a hold of Felicity without actually doing anything. That was, did he just sort of like earpiece on activate?
And he's whispering because he doesn't want shrapnel to hear.
Yeah.
Now,
did he? I don't remember him saying that they were in the sound things. Did he say specifically where the bomb?
No. Diggle just figured that out
because
he took a look around and was like,
okay.
What? And it was a very logical thing because I think for a lot of us watching, for me, I was kind of like, well, it looks like there's a lot of sound equipment or like lighting equipment and stuff, so it'll be in that stuff sort of surrounding everybody.
Yeah. So this is good talking him through what is, I guess, because there's what, a bomb in the drywall, and so we've got to disarm it, which is good. I like that Felicity sort of keeps her cool and can just dive right back into like, they're now in sort of...
And even makes a joke about it. Like, are you sure I'm not... compromise head's not in the game and then this is so good because I was like how does he get out of this? Is he just gonna fire the arrow and hope that it goes really fast? But no, he moves it down the shaft of the arrow onto his bow so that he can fire the arrow at the fuse box, which is a really cool just like a physical and very visual storytelling,
which is cool. Because you're like, how did he get away with it? And it's because he, he did a very specific
thing. Very slowly moved it.
Yeah. Which is cool. And so I like that Diggle and Felicity are the ones, like, on the ground actually dealing with this circumstance, which is cool. They really are a team, which is the awesome thing.
I will just say that acoustically, setting up speakers at the back of a amphitheater sort of scenario, as well as speakers down in the amphitheater, like the reverb and the just like not the best choice, but that's okay. It worked for the story.
So. What did you say earlier today? You found the plot hole, Mike?
Yeah, he escaped through the plot.
He escaped the plot, there you go. Anyways, so this is... I think he is just using his reliance on how good the arrow is. I don't know. That would make less sense.
I think he quickly, like...
Or else he's psycho. He's either completely psycho, or he's manipulating all of the circumstances in which he finds himself.
I think he adapted, right?
Yeah.
Because, like you said, he goes for the gun immediately,
mm-hmm.
but then he thinks twice.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he very quickly comes up with the idea, like,
mm-hmm.
oh, I can use this.
Mm-hmm.
I can use this to strike up a partnership with the vigilante, with the arrow.
Yeah.
And then get him where I want him, mm-hmm. which I think we're going to mm-hmm. see. We'll see...
straight up Diggle Disco Shot.
See Oliver fall into a trap very soon,
yeah.
I think, in the next couple episodes.
Yeah.
But
so this is the awesomest part of the whole episode. Like,
so
look
good.
At that bomb explode above the people. Like, that was...
That's
the moment. That's the moment that Shrapnel's like, oh, I need to take this guy a little bit more seriously. I think,
yeah.
I don't know, that was like a nice reaction.
And then an awesome moment.
This is so good.
More superpowers.
Roy. And Thea just straight up seeing it. Right?
Yeah.
We're not going to retcon any of that stuff, I don't think.
No.
I have, right? You're going to actually remember.
Yeah, no, this is going to be important.
This is important.
Next week. It's going to be a conversation that has to happen.
Yeah. And it's good.
And it's undoubtedly good. The classic line of, it must have just been adrenaline, I guess.
Yeah.
But she brings it up later in this episode where she's like,
what happened?
Let me see
your
arm, and it's completely healed.
Yeah. That's good.
And he totally mm-hmm. played out cliche line. But I think cliche for a reason, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I just heal really fast.
Yeah. This is a great, like, disarming. That he just...
Well, you wonder... I was kind of hoping that he would have it on a dead man switch.
Oh,
okay. And, like, he had already pushed the button, and he would just shoot the arrow through his hand.
Right,
so that
that it
drop
wouldn't...
It.
Yeah, yeah.
But if...
I don't know.
I might be wrong, but maybe he's already done that.
Right,
this is
know.
The short commercial break.
Right. Maybe he has. Just I don't know.
Fast forwarding
through
it.
Probably a lot of different ways.
But he cuts the wire on the detonator, and I love Shrapnel's look. He's just like, you... What? But no!
Oh, yeah.
You ruined all my fun.
So bad. Right.
And then we're right back in.
Into Verdant, which is the conversation that they need.
Oh, it said shooken up in the
shooken up? Interesting.
Is it shooken or shaken?
Shaken.
I'm fairly certain that it should be shaken.
A bit shaken up. If you're in the present tense, it'd be shaken up. She was shook up. I don't think shooken is a word.
Like, I think shook up is like it's bad English. Like, it's poor English,
it's,
I should say.
Anyways, and he just leaves. So here we go. That's the C drama. Maybe the C drama.
The CW drama
aspect where he just doesn't want to talk about it. But look at how much footage they got for that. I was impressed.
Well, it's really cool because they use it as a way to keep some continuity between the cuts.
Yeah,
so
which
that
is awesome.
Like, we're seeing it in the background in Verdant, and then we're seeing it on the screen in the how, do we call it the quiver? Or do
I
we call
it
the foundry? Because
he
told us that
it's
called the foundry.
I've never heard.
It's called the quiver.
I'm gonna call it quiver. We're on.
Oh,
quiver.
We totally talked over their moment before. Or no, maybe it's here.
It's here. It's the
where she says. She says, are you talking to your quiver?
Yeah.
And I was like, or talking to Quiver the Green Arrow podcast.
Because
maybe it was like
quiver.
Right around now that he knew that he was doing the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to choose to believe that was a reference to us. It wasn't. But
yes.
I'm going to choose to believe it.
You can choose to believe
it.
Because
it makes me
want.
Feel good about myself.
I really like this when they do this in terms of like a power dynamic. The fact that he came to her and she's sitting down is also really great storytelling. Like, it's the moment that she gets up is the moment that he is forgiven.
Yeah.
And that's just, like, great... I don't know, it's just, like, great storytelling in the way that they, like, really understand these characters and how they're working and that she just has the ability, she has the power. This is what's redeeming the Elysee relationship for me. This scene in which she gets to have power... In a way that she doesn't normally. Like, this doesn't happen, that she sits there and he comes to her and, like, explains himself. And I think that that's just like a really redeeming thing in their relationship, that there's the ability to have sort of this balanced dynamic that I really like.
And then he refers to her as a partner, right? Like this employee of the month joke. And he's like, no, you're not an employee, you're a partner. Mm-hmm. And you're my partner, he says.
Not a partner,
I think that this, and then this is him saying that Barry's gonna wake up. That's him saying I'm okay with it. Like clearly, you're gonna go for him, and nothing's gonna happen between us. So I'm not allowed to be jealous. This is a very mature, real way to deal with this dynamic between these two characters. Mm-hmm. So, like I was saying back when the Olicity stuff was starting to come up, I think it's going to pay off. And I think it did. It really paid off.
This is the moment where she starts to ramble and he just puts his hand on her shoulder.
Yeah.
And, like, they don't say anything for two beats. And then she just says, thank you. Like, that's, like, I think really emphasizes their relationship in a really positive way.
Totally.
Anyways, so I like that scene. I think it wraps up a lot of things in a really nice way, which is good. And now we're back on the island. Did we end on the island? Oh, we end in an island. I don't know what it is, how we end. Anyways, but this is what Sarah.
Slade's taken off.
Right.
And well, we don't know that yet.
Ivo is basically saying he's going to torture them if they don't, or basically like manipulate them and torture them if they don't come back.
If they, like, he's given them an ultimatum. If they just hand over the Mirakuru and come back, that he'll drop them in Shanghai. Like, he says, you'll be in Shanghai in 24 hours. Or if you don't, my men will find you and we're going to...
Indulge my scientific curiosity.
Yeah. He's essentially going to experiment on them.
Oh, creepy.
Because he's a super evil dude. But Slade's gone.
My one complaint from this episode is that his fingernails were too clean. He's living on an island. Dirty fingernails. Look at that face. That was good. Oh, right. We end with... So now this is Laurel. Laurel has, like, a relatively interesting plot point in this, which is cool. So we get to see the crazy aunt. I was going to say aunt. Do you say aunt?
I say aunt.
Aunt.
Yeah.
Okay. Who says aunt?
People with accents or affectations.
What kind of an affectation is that?
I don't know, like a hoity-toity one?
Hoity-toity one. Okay. Anyways. So there's a lot here that when you sort of see this, we're like, what is this? Who is this? We're going to figure out the plot now. What was it that Detective Lance said to not worry about her because it's just like a good deed and Laurel just ignores her dad and goes anyways?
Yeah.
So there's this sort of element of the thing that's going to be the tragedy of Laurel this season is the idea that she actually is really on a roll, but because she's going to spiral in a way, or people are going to discover the drugs and it's going to be a thing that's going to discredit her, which is so unfortunate because she's actually, the thing is, she's like, has a potential when, you know, when people call you crazy and you're not, like, because she's not, she's like thinking very soundly, even though it does seem odd. Like, why is she chasing after this guy that there's no reason really to do that? It's a cut between Ollie and Laurel.
Yeah, the big handshake.
Yeah. I don't know. There could be, like, a better... It wasn't, like, as tense an ending as some endings are. But we know that there's going to be then stuff going down with blood next week, basically.
Like, what we were saying earlier, I think because we know that he's a bad guy, this isn't a reveal for us. This is a reveal for Laurel.
Yeah,
But we're, like I said before, we're just waiting for her to figure it out. We're just like, come on, get there already.
Yeah. And so, Sebastian is the devil. So she's actually talking quite sanely, I guess is the thing, to Laurel, like, once that happened. But still, so here you're like...
So he killed his father, and I was there. So that's the reveal that this is not his aunt, but actually his mother.
Yeah, because Laurel has the ability to put both pieces together, right? Yeah. Hearing it actually from Sebastian. Like, he didn't lie, he talked about the truth, and then it's actually... That's the problem there. And... That's a good shot of him, actually. The, like, upward...
Yeah.
Power, which is good. So anyways, it's going to make Laurel a little bit... I don't know.
Well, I think she's going to be very involved next week.
Yeah.
the next time on.
It's really shifting the dynamic a little bit about the show, which is good.
Yeah.
And so do we have the preview for next week, right?
Right into the preview. Which looks awesome.
That was a Sky Train. Yeah, Sky Train.
Yeah, so there we've got a conversation between Laurel and
Ollie. Or I guess Green Arrow.
Yeah. And then a bunch of other stuff's going on.
Flashes.
And we get our, in my opinion, a very wasted reveal of Deathstroke.
Yeah, because they could have actually put that into the episode.
Yeah, I would have much rather that they saved that and surprised us next week. But I think they'll probably use it in clips leading up.
Yeah, I mean, it'll probably be in clips before we... Yeah,
sure, Stephen Amell. For those who may not know... Of course, I should hope that everybody who listens to the podcast knows this. But if you're not following Stephen Amell on Facebook,
you should
be. Because the CW has sort of changed tactics a little
bit. Yeah, they are awesome.
They're giving stuff directly to Stephen, mm-hmm. and he's posting it. And then the official Arrow mm-hmm. page is reposting his stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to see that stuff first, like he posted a clip from today's episode on his Facebook page this morning. He posted pictures earlier this week.
Mm-hmm.
So he's the one to follow.
Yeah, they're doing a great job. CW's really understanding him as a resource to reach fans. So that's really awesome. I'm very impressed with them. That was a long episode, I feel. We talked for a while.
No, that was good.
It's good.
Awesome
episode. Glad to be back in the swing of things. We got a couple new episodes now coming down.
Yeah.
Coming down the
pipe. I don't know what the break's going to be like because the Olympics happen soon.
When is the break? Do we know for sure when it's happening yet?
I don't know. I don't know when the Olympics start, but
more
than likely, most shows will be on hiatus.
Right. Yeah. That's
because
true.
They just don't want to try and compete.
Mm-hmm.
Which is silly because I don't want to watch the Olympics this year because they're in Russia.
Right.
And because of all the political stuff around that.
Lots of things.
But
the problematic things with not watching it as well, I understand. Anyways,
yes.
There's lots of...
It kills me because, I really enjoyed watching the... participating in the Winter Olympics last time.
Right, yeah.
They were here because they were in Vancouver, so we got to actually go to the things and watch them in person. But I was really looking forward to some of the Olympics this year. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, it's going to interrupt our TV schedule. And we're not going to... Well, I'm not going to be able to actually watch it and enjoy it. So maybe I'll rewatch season one during the break.
Interesting. And I don't know when it is. Up till February 5th, I think we've got clean episodes. Like, that's what's been posted on IMDb. And then from the 5th to the 26th, there's a break. So between, I think that's possibly when
It should be 2 weeks.
The 5th to the 26th, it seems what it is going to be. So we've got Heir to the Demon, which is going to air on the 5th, and then the episode 14 doesn't come out until the 26th.
Oh my God, that would be perfect.
So,
because I'm going to be in Disneyland. So.
Oh man, see, and I'm going away. I have to miss an episode of Quiver in 2 weeks, so it's so close to...
In 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So we'll figure it out.
We're doing some stuff on air.
Yeah, that's good. We'll figure it out. But you might have... So that's good. Hopefully
you might have Casey. You might have Brian. You might have Casey and Brian.
Ooh. So we'll see what's going on. But hopefully
maybe I'll bring in somebody else. Maybe I'll bring in Curtis. I know he wants to do an episode.
So we can figure out... We'll I don't know. Let you know. We'll see you next week, though, definitely.
Yes, we'll be back next week.
What is it? Tremors, I think, is the name of the episode there.
Tremors
next week.
Ooh, interesting. Maybe it'll tie back into some of the earthquake stuff.
Interesting. I lied. Tremors is in 2 weeks. It's Blind Spot next week.
Okay.
Sorry.
Blind Spot
I lied.
Next week, and then
Blind
Tremors.
Spot next week.
Well, hopefully Tremors ties back into some of the earthquake
stuff.
That'd
be cool. So some cool stuff coming down the line. And a lot more Sebastian Butt led stuff next week. So
yes.
That'll be exciting.
Cool.
Yay.
Well, that does it for us this week. You guys can follow us in all of our myriad ways on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
You can follow us on Twitter. It's at Quiver Podcast. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/QuiverPodcast. The website is quiverpodcast.com. And of course, we want to hear from you guys. So send us email, mail@QuiverPodcast.com. And you guys can write in with your thoughts and we will read your emails on the show.
Yeah, you can also talk to us individually. I'm at A Konkin on Twitter, at AKONKIN.
Yeah, and you just got 500 followers on Twitter.
Yay, thanks.
I am nowhere near that. So at Arkwulf, A-R-K-W-U-L-F, please follow me so that I can also have 500.
Well, and then make him start tweeting more. See, I tweet. You can, I'll like tweet.
I have been tweeting
you
more.
You have been tweeting. That's good. Michael's getting better at Twitter, so it's good. We enjoy it. I don't know. I really enjoy it. But you're good with your Tumblr. People can follow your Tumblr too, which is good. Which you can find through your
Arkwulf.tumblr.com.
Yeah. And it's also through your Twitter too.
Yeah. You'll see lots of links through my Twitter.
Awesome.
But yeah, that's it for us this week. We will see you guys next week.
Yeah. Stay sharp, Arrowheads. Something cool. I was going to say something that you would then listen to later.
But you couldn't think of
anything
cool.
So I checked my Twitter instead.
So. Well, good job then, I guess.
Yeah. I have 500 Twitter followers because I begged for followers on Facebook today.
From?
Well, it was bothering me. I was at like 499 and 498 for like 3 days straight, and I was like, ugh, I just need like a few more people to follow me.
So nobody follows me.
I was like, follow me on Twitter. And they did. And now I feel happy. Yay, Twitter. It's good. Oh my god, I'm so full. Ugh.
Okay, are you ready?
Sure.
What is this?
I have no idea. I was going to ask, actually.
The 10th episode.
It's an even, is that me?
Yeah.
Even. Blast radius.
Oh, I gotta do all the stuff set off the TV.
Yeah.
Yeah, the 10th episode.
Trophy Wife? Is the name of a show?
Yeah.
Hey!
A very good show.
Does New Girl bother the crap out of you as well?
This season?
New Girl in general just bothers the crap out of me. Yeah, mostly this season. It's just I'm having a hard time with it. The last week's episode. Have you seen it?
Yeah.
It's like...
I haven't seen this week's. I saw last week's.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I don't even know. I was catching up. No, sorry. I hadn't watched it in a really long time. I watched them this week, but they were the Thanksgiving episode.
Yeah.
Where he, like, sends an invite with Jess, and then Coach, like, calls him a pussy, and then he, like, decides to go camping. Like, that's the worst... Like, that's just, like, horrible in the, like, you are unmasculated, and it's uncool to be...
This is a thing that's been happening in comedy writing lately.
Yeah.
And Dan Harmon, who writes Community, mm-hmm. has been talking about it, and it's become very prevalent, where, like, a show will start off with, like, every character has their quirks, and here's the one character who is extra quirky, so they've got 3 or 4 quirks.
Yeah.
And then that's always the character that everybody's like, oh, I just love that character, right? Mm-hmm. Like, in New Girl, it was Nick, right? Like, Nick was, mm-hmm. was like, Nick, he would make really weird decisions, and he would do things randomly. And initially, Schmidt was not that weird. He was a little, like, he was full of himself. He was arrogant. And Jess was weird because she was a girl. So it was like she would do girl things. So they would be like, what is happening? Why do you want to watch a movie instead of watch basketball? That doesn't make any sense to us, right? Like, season one, that's what it was like. And then they came back for season two. And season two, it was like, now all of a sudden, Schmidt, rather than just being full of himself and pronouncing things with a weird affectation, now he's also, like, ridiculously fastidious. and he's got all of these weird things about sex that he likes, and all these and then Winston just has anxiety issues and just does weird stuff when he has anxiety. And it's like, that was kind of already Nick's thing.
Yeah.
Right? Was that like whenever Nick felt like there was pressure, he would react in a really weird way, right?
Yeah.
And just became way, way weirder.
Yeah.
Right? Like, just to the point of, like, almost... Like, there are times when her weirdness is a little off.
I sometimes can't watch it. The majority of the time, I can't watch the show. I don't know why I'm still watching it. But...
It's been rough this season, especially with Coach coming back. It threw off the dynamic that they had.
Yeah.
And so now, like, it just feels like there's this other guy shoehorned in.
Yeah.
And he just wants to... It's like... Last week's episode... They were at the bar, and the episode starts, and it's just the four of them, mm-hmm. like the original cast.
Mm-hmm.
And then at a certain point, Coach was just there.
Mm-hmm.
Like Crystal said that he had made some remark about like he was doing something, and then he showed up.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, wait, was Coach there the whole time? I'm mm-hmm. confused. And she's like, he said something,
mm-hmm.
but it was just like. It's just, he just feels shoehorned in.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it doesn't feel organic. He just feels like it's just I'm here. I'm also zany and kooky.
Well, do you know what the problem is right now? Winston's not working anymore as a character.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Winston's working as a character in terms of the dynamic. He's become too, like, independent.
Well, he was supposed to be the level-headed one, right?
Yeah.
Like, he was supposed, although he, like, I think what they initially intended was that he would be the one... with all of the advice, but he can't get his own crap together,
right?
Because he wanted to be a professional basketball player.
Yeah.
But that didn't work out for him.
Yeah.
But out of all four of them, he is the one who's like, get a job, be responsible, do things, like be a reasonable, rational human being.
Yeah.
But then they've just slowly made him...
crazy.
More and more silly. And they did the same thing with Community, right? Like, Community, it started off that only a couple of the characters were really kooky.
Yeah.
Like, Britta and Annie and Shirley were not weird characters to begin with.
Well, Troy was a jock to begin with.
Yeah, very early
on.
They
were all very different.
But Troy's character changed very quickly.
Yeah,
okay. Right? Like, the first, because they shot six episodes.
Yeah.
And then aired the six episodes, and then they shot more, right? And then they got picked up to series. And when they got picked up to series...
They started writing for the actors
a little bit more. And so right away, they started writing the Troy and Abed stuff.
Annie and Britta are relatively... I think they're all sort of... I don't think it's the same...
Not season four.
I'm watching season four right now.
In season four, Britta stops being... a little bit, I don't even know if naive was the right thing. Like, because in season two, they have the episode where they all go drinking, right?
Yeah.
And Troy is supposed, he's old enough to drink for the first time or whatever. And it was kind of in that one where Britta, it was very clear that she's made all of the wrong choices in life continually, right? So that's supposed to, she's just supposed to be not very streetwise, right?
Yeah.
But she's still supposed to be like passionate and socially intelligent and like all of these different things that make her a strong character. By season four, she's a female Homer Simpson.
Where
she'll walk into a room and everybody will be doing something and she'll be like, I don't get the joke. And then that's the joke, right? It's just, they really dumbed her character down.
And then they really amped up
Annie's whole, sexuality, what's the tension between Jeff and Annie thing in season four, right?
Sorry, can you go back to
season five, they fixed it. But.
This started because I was talking about the intense gender thing that happened in New Girl, though. So what sparked you about that? What do you mean?
You didn't say anything about an intense gender thing.
Yeah, I did.
You said that the show was weird. That the show was not that.
No, the Thanksgiving episode.
Yeah.
The guy comes in and says to Nick, this is the thing. The premise of the Thanksgiving episode.
Oh, like the weird guy thing. Yeah.
The premise is that he's losing his manhood and needs to then go camping. Like, and that, like, as a premise was so weak. And it was like the second episode I think Coach had ever been in there, and Coach came in as like this guy going like, why aren't you a guy anymore? Because you're dating a girl and you're wearing pink pants.
Yeah.
You're so lame. Like, that just bothers me to no,
no
end.
I don't.
That whole episode.
You don't have any friends who are divorced, do you? Not really.
Not really, no.
Okay. So, he was off on his, he had his career and his relationship, right? Mm-hmm. And his career fell apart, mm-hmm. and his relationship fell apart at the same time. Mm-hmm. So he came back and he sees Nick in a relationship. And this is something that people who are divorced do. They'll, like, it's teams, right? Everybody who's single wants all of their friends to be single so that they can all go out drinking and partying on the weekend or whatever, and do whatever single people do. For you, it's let's all have wine Tuesdays, right? Yeah. Crystal and I don't come to your wine Tuesdays. Do you know why? Because we're married. Because we have, like, regular jobs. Like, we've got, we have the adult life, the other thing, right? We're one step
away. I have an adult life. I have a different kind of adult life than you do.
Okay. You have a college adult type of life. So you're still kind of hanging on to that a little bit. But there's nothing wrong
with
that.
That's not patronizing at all.
There's nothing wrong with that, but that's what single life is like. It's like college never stops. Right? Like, you have the freedom to say, screw it, I'm gonna drink all night, and if I sleep all day tomorrow, it doesn't affect anybody but me. Right? Like, as long as you make it to work on time, that's all that matters. For me and Crystal, we can't do that, because if I decide I'm gonna drink and get wasted, and I wake up tomorrow morning with a hangover, she's the one who has to deal with those consequences.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
That's what a marriage and a partnership is. Anyways, the point being,
I never thought
the point that being was, is that single friends want all their friends to be single, right? And married friends or friends that in couples want all of their friends to be coupled, because then they can do couple things, because you do different things. Like brunches and going to the movies.
We all went for brunch when Genevieve was here.
Sure, okay,
we all rolled
in
at different times.
But anyways,
it's different. I get it.
Okay. So divorcees mm-hmm. want their friends who are in stable, committed relationships to be in the same bitchy, terrible mood that they're in. And these are all generalizations, right, obviously, right?
So but that's interesting.
I think that was the dynamic of his character. He was coming in and he was seeing, like, they have this thing where they're all lovey-dovey and they're going to have a perfect little Thanksgiving. Yeah. And he wanted to tear that down. I thought it was really transparent.
Really? See, like, and for me, it just seemed horribly sexist. It just seemed like it was a horribly sexist episode.
But I think that it was subversive. I don't think that it was sexist in the sense that they had no idea what they were writing. I think the writers knew very well that they were writing Coach to be a very sexist character in that moment, and they wanted to deal with it. And by the end of the episode, what is the conclusion that Nick comes to? He's going to be a man on his own terms, by his own stuff, and he relates it to his dad, right? Like, he ends up being like, I'm going to be a man the way I know how to be a man, and that's by drinking my problems away and not addressing anything and just hoping that it goes away, right? Like, just stuff like that, which is what his character always kind of reverts to. But I think that that's kind of in keeping with his character. It's when everybody else does weird stuff around it that it bothers me, because I feel like he's supposed to be the weird, like, zany, I'm gonna do a weird thing, like go talk to an old Asian man on a park bench that never says anything back, but hold up both ends of the conversation, right? Like, for him, I love that, and that makes sense, and that's the character that we love. For Winston, you know, like, the whole thing of, like, he doesn't know how to prank people, right?
Oh, right, yeah.
It's played out now. Yeah, like, it's done. They've overused.
He doesn't have anything that defines him as a character. It's kind of...
Yeah, well, not anymore. Like,
yeah.
He kind of
did
in the
he
first
did,
season.
Yeah. He was a full character and contributed to the dynamic between the three of them.
Well, he would be the one to, like, rein everybody back in, but now he's
and, like,
just
makes
as,
sense, yeah.
as wacky, right?
Which is, I don't know. The cat thing is... Anyways, let's not talk about New Girl. You should watch Mindy Project, though. Did you guys stop watching Mindy Project?
No, I'm never going to watch the Mindy Project.
Really? See, now that's the thing. Of New Girl and Mindy Project, I watch Mindy Project instead of New Girl.
Ridiculously trite. Like, just obnoxiously so. It's just like, it's paint-by-numbers sitcom. It is not... No.
I find it entertaining.
Okay, well, maybe you like paint-by-numbers sitcoms. I don't know what that says about you, but...
That's exactly what I expect it to be. I don't know. It's good. I like it.
I just don't like her. I didn't like her on The Office, and I don't like her on that.
Oh, really?
She's just obnoxious. Oh, like, she's like really annoying.
I think she's great. Super relatable.
Okay. If you say so.
Yep.
Okay.
I do.
Start this over.
Ugh. Gross. Is there enough recording time left?
Yeah, there's over 4 hours.
God, let's not take 4 hours.
I didn't intend on taking 4 hours. Okay. It's your intro.
Right. Blast Radius. What's the episode?
Blast Radius.
The 10th episode?
10th episode.
It's only been 10 episodes? Oh my god, I feel like we've been doing this forever.
You know why it feels like that? It feels like that because of the Stephen Amell interview.
That, maybe that's why.
Because there was so much around that.
Yeah,
it made
true.
Everything such a big deal.
It's true.
It makes it very... It's very weird to watch the show now. Did you find that?
I guess. Maybe because he's just like a different... The Facebook things I watch very differently now. Like yeah. What he does. You know, stuff
it, like, it's just like once you've been in the room with the guy and you've seen what his off screen...
Mm-hmm.
Like what his real personality is.
Yeah.
Right. And like... More so than what people saw in the interview, and mm-hmm. more so, definitely more so than what he shows on his Facebook profile. Because
mm-hmm.
I think that what he shows on his Facebook page is very, like...
A thing.
Yeah, I'm going to sit down and do a thing and disseminate some information, right?
Mm-hmm. I find it easier to watch the show.
Yeah.
I find him more... it makes him more relatable as a human being to me.
I don't know. I'm just noticing, like, the real difference in who he is and who...
The character is?
Who all three of his characters are on right. the show, right? Because he's got so many different ones. If any of them is close to him...
It's Abercrombie Oliver,
which is the weird thing, right? Because it seems like it's almost the most affected of the three on the show.
Yeah.
But then once you meet him and talk to him, it's like that's probably the most natural of him being like... Whoa! Just like weirded out by all the crazy stuff happening and out of his depth, sort of thing. Like, just the interview sort of showed that like he's very, I mean, he's a humble guy, right?
Yeah. So,
I don't know. I just think it's interesting. It's interesting how.
Welcome to Quibi the Green Arrow Podcast.
Podcast. There you go. That's a word. Podcast. There's a T in there. There's an S and a T. The ST sound makes a st.
Podcast. Have I not been saying the N's? I thought it's the D's that I'm forgetting.
You missed it. You're rolling right over the D. Like, the D isn't even there. You say paw, like P-A-W, cast.
Podcast.
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 There you go. Podcast.
Podcast.
There you go.
I have to hit it like two words.
Like a human being. It is two words. It's a podcast. It's an iPod...
Podcast. It feels fake. Podcast?
I don't care if it feels fake. It sounds like an actual word as opposed to... You're not the only one who does it. Like, I listen to other podcasts and other people say, like, podcast?
Anyways, for the 10th episode, Blast Radius.
Apparently, you have a thicker Canadian accent than I do.
Really?
Yeah, I don't remember if it was a comment on Facebook or a...
I have a pretty intense Canadian accent. Every once in a while, I'll find it.
Somebody said that you...
Really?
Yeah. Oh, is that guy from Israel? Sent in, like, a super long email. He had some things that I wanted to talk about, but...
It was a long
his
email.
His email was too long. I didn't want to pull pieces out of it.
A Canadian accent. Cool.
Yeah, he said that your accent's really thick.
Really? Really thick?
Yeah. You have a real strong Canadian accent.
What the hell is a strong Canadian accent? Maybe, like, four words I pronounce differently than other people.
I see that a little bit. Like, I hear what he's saying. Because I have an affected West Coast accent. Like, I wouldn't say I do it on purpose, but it is influenced by people that I like.
Mm.
Right? So I talk like them. So I say, like, there's just a little tiny bit of surfer in the way that I talk. Like, I say for sure. Like, that sort of thing. Just because it's just... you know what it is? It's the like Zach Morris Saved by the Bell influence on my life. That is just That's what I gravitate to.
Right on.
No, that's different. That's not surfer. That's
I
that's
know.
Cowboy.
I just said right on. Okay. And then I just kept saying it.
And then
it was
you
in no
made
way
it a Matthew McConaughey.
Who's in no way related to other things.
Who's like southern, like Texas.
Oh, right.
Isn't it? That's like.
I don't know. Fine, I'll try to talk American.
Well, no, don't change the way that you talk. Okay. Other than the word podcast. Just say podcast.
Podcast.
Are you ready?
Yeah, I was waiting. Okay. I have to start again now.